Painter Chuck Close famously said, "Inspiration is for amateurs. The rest of us just show up and get to work." Most people think that finding inspiration is hard. But the truth is that having the stamina to keep showing up to make your art is harder. If you do that, the inspiration will come. Welcome to the Passionate Painter Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Italia Carlson. Whether your art is a full-time career or your side gig, if you are passionate about creating art, this podcast is for you. Don't worry about taking notes. I'll do that for you. And you can find them at PassionatePainterPodcast.com. Welcome back. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about recognizing when something's getting in the way of our creativity and learning how to use that discomfort as a roadmap to move past it. But before we get started, it's time for shoutouts. The first one goes out to Kira Barsotti from Chico, California. Kira says, "I love your podcast and the topics and guests you choose to discuss and interview. They've been inspiring and helpful to me. Thanks for all you do." Thanks, Kira. I'm so glad you're out there. And I'm looking forward to seeing you soon on the podcast. Kira loves to paint landscapes inspired by her travels around the United States that inspire people to reconnect with the land they inhabit. She's developed a completely unique mixed media technique that lends itself to the ephemeral quality of our changing world. Her website is kirabarsotti.com, and you can find the spelling and the link in the show notes. You'll also be hearing from Kira soon on the podcast. Our next two shoutouts are about my recent interview with Brenda Robinson, available in two parts at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode 77 and PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode 78. Shout out to Rodney. Rodney said, "Brenda's work is transformational and strikes a chord with everyone who sees it. Every stroke has meaning, and her background comes across in every work. It was great to hear her story." Thanks, Rodney. I completely agree. Our third shout out goes to Marcy Bernstein, who says, "Brenda Robinson's authenticity has inspired me to be more open about my own creative process. I've been looking for a creative outlet, although not formally trained in the arts. I'm now freer to tap into my intuitive nature instead of waiting for formal training. Brenda is a gem." Yes, she is, Marcy. I completely agree. Thank you for your comment. Please let me know how your art is going and be sure to send pictures to Caroline@PassionatePainterPodcast.com. I'm happy to announce, as promised, in addition to my full master class, The Portrait Code, 7 new Spotlight courses are now available for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. I've had requests for those who only want the targeted training to pull these out of the masterclass so that they can be available individually if desired. As always, they're available at incredible prices because I want them to be accessible. You can check them out and see course content by going to PassionatePainterAcademy.com. So today we're talking about creative blocks and how we can catch ourselves getting pulled in by them. Much of that has to do with asking questions. Are you struggling with imposter syndrome? Insecurity? Overwhelm? Compare and despair? How about uncertainty of the next step of your journey as an artist? Me too. But I'm working on it, and I'm getting there. I think of confidence as a verb. It needs to be practiced to move forward. So today, in my No Fear episode, I'm going to share with you some of the helpful things I've learned in my art journey about moving forward, not without fear, but in spite of it. As always, take what you can and leave the rest. Okay, disclaimer. I am not a mental health professional. The suggestions in this episode are intended to support you as an artist and give you an electronic hug of encouragement. If you feel that you need a therapist for more in-depth guidance, I wholeheartedly encourage you to take advantage of your community resources and reach out to one. I've done so myself over the years to grow and move through rough patches with wonderful results. You are not alone, and you deserve love and support. Now, I've never shared this on the show before, but during my days in college, I struggled with an eating disorder. And as is typical with these types of struggles, it really had nothing to do with appearance. It had to do with self-acceptance, feeling worthy, things you can't see on the outside. Fast forward to today, and I'm in a pretty good place. I'm not going to say I'm cured, because I think that kind of attitude leads to complacency. And complacency is dangerous for a lot of reasons. I still struggle with self-image, but I'm no longer engaged in the self-destructive patterns from college. And I've put systems in place that help me to stay in a healthy growth mindset. Getting to this point has been a process, and it started with doing work on the inside. Some of the really helpful mindset guideposts along the way have been things I was introduced to back in college, inside the rooms of 12-step meetings. There are lots of slogans around the 12-step philosophy, but don't let that fool you. To quote another slogan, slogans are wisdom written in shorthand. I believe this wisdom can save a person's life if it's taken to heart and lived by. There are many 12-step concepts that I could riff off of, and I'll look at more of them down the road. But today, I'm digging into the concept of regularly checking in with yourself. Teaching yourself to stop and assess what's going on the inside. Learning to do this can help enable you to notice when you're getting overwhelmed or stuck. This is a helpful skill for anyone to do, but I'm going to talk about how you specifically can benefit from doing this as an artist. The goal here is to get to the point where when you suddenly start to feel off, you automatically ask yourself, what's going on with me right now? When you can do this, you'll often catch yourself going off course emotionally before someone else notices. So, what's the benefit of doing this? Why do we want to catch this? Because when you're overwhelmed or anxious, it gets in the way of your ability to create. In 12-step programs, there's a very useful acronym. It's called HALT. H-A-L-T. The letters stand for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. We're going to take a look at these one at a time and look how they apply to the creatives. The concept is to be able to catch yourself when you're starting to feel out of sorts by asking yourself these questions. Am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? It may be none of the above, but it's a great place to start. So let's take a look at these one at a time and how they can apply to creatives. I'm going to take them out of order as we take this apart, because two of them can be lumped together in that they both signal that it's time to stop and step away from what you're doing. And the other two signal that something needs to be done differently than you're doing it now. So taking the letters off either end, let's start with hungry and tired. Making sure you aren't hungry or tired when you're making your art will save you a lot of stress and frustration. If you're pushing through discomfort while you're working, whether you're aware of it or not, it's going to take a toll on the quality of your art, but especially if you don't learn to recognize it. We don't want to be in our studios trying to create and veering off course without being aware of it. We want to catch it as quickly as we can. Working when you're hungry or tired is like walking down an unfamiliar path in the woods, blindfolded. If you don't catch yourself early enough, you just might walk off a cliff. So stop and check in. Take those breaks. Back up. Back all the way out of the room. When you come back, you'll be able to view your work with fresher eyes. I recommend snapping a picture on your phone of the work in progress and looking at it on your phone screen before you get back to whatever you were doing. To this day, this remains my best go-to for getting mistakes to jump out at me. Making sure we don't need to stop and refuel. Getting rest and getting a fresh perspective will help you catch artwork going off course. To notice when we're in the weeds. Props to my fellow former restaurant wait servers. The H for hungry is fairly straightforward. If you're getting hungry as you work, you're not likely to do your best creating. Anything that makes you clench and feel constricted, physically or psychologically, is going to shut down your creativity. On a less obvious note, just limiting simple carbs and sugars will help your blood sugar become more stable. Disclaimer, I am not a doctor, so I'm not handing out eating suggestions here, beyond sharing that a good way to live more healthfully is to minimize packaged foods. I used to be so hypoglycemic, I couldn't go more than 2 hours after a meal without my blood sugar bottoming out. The more you eat straight from the source, rather than out of a box, the less ingredients you'll be ingesting, including less sugar and sodium. After I started clean eating, giving up packaged foods, I gave up gluten, and that got my blood sugar even more stable. But that's what works for me. What I recommend is to take care of yourself. Get your doctor's advice on the best diet for you. The better fuel you put into your body, the less vulnerable you'll be to blood sugar spikes and sudden hunger. Now, I mentioned battling through an eating disorder. So now I eat for physical, mental, and emotional health and nourishment. I'm suggesting you find out what works for you and do the same. Okay, so we've talked about eating for health to keep our creativity going and our energy consistent and getting rest. If you're exhausted, you're not going to be creative. If your tank is empty, you're going to start to feel constricted again. Your creativity is going to shut down. Okay, so let's move on to the A in HALT and talk about anger. If something is bugging you that you haven't resolved, it's going to again pull you off course, make you feel constricted, and affect your art. It's okay to make angry art if that's what you're going for. Those of you who are my students know what I'm going to tell you. Say it with me. If you're going to do something with your art, do it on purpose. Training yourself to check in regularly with your emotions is going to help you catch when you're feeling angry. If you find you are angry, or angry's first cousin, frustrated, don't stop there. Ask yourself, what's going on? Why am I feeling this way? You may be surprised by what you learn. And if you think when you ask yourself that question, you're not going to hear the answer, I'm using air quotes here when I say, hear the answer, then you're not listening. Slow down, breathe, and be still. With some practice, I'm convinced that once you learn to be still, you'll hear the answers. I'm not saying you're going to hear voices. I'm going to say that you will know what the answer is inside of you. But you've got to stop and listen. You wouldn't ask someone for directions and then turn and walk away while they were trying to give you those directions, would you? Some of you know that my most significant angry moment was on campus at UMass Amherst back in college. I was a double major in zoology and art. I was ambitious. I was motivated. I was scuba diving and taking calculus. I was going to be the next Jacques Cousteau. And I was taking drawing classes and pulling all-nighters on Thursday nights, selling my airbrush t-shirts in the student commons on Fridays. So I was very, very, very tired. And to my long-suffering roommate, Ingrid, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I did eventually realize my compressor did not qualify as a sleep-worthy sound machine and moved my operation down the hall to the lounge. But the point is, I was fitting my art around the more demanding science and math courses, thinking maybe because the art came so easily to me that I should be putting my attention on the harder courses. And I got through it. But I realize now that the harder courses were so tough because I wasn't into them. There are plenty of technical things I can do that I don't consider particularly hard because I'm interested in them. And that's important to consider when you're struggling. Do you need to push through? Is this necessary? Am I struggling because I'm on the verge of learning something? Or am I struggling because I'm fighting against my nature? I'm forcing myself to move forward with something I'm not interested in. Am I struggling against the tide? So identifying the source of your frustration and anger is important. Use the frustration, use the anger. Use it as a guidepost. So I'm in college and I'm a double major and I'm exhausted. And one day I'm walking across campus and I see this woman leaving the Fine Arts building with one of those enormous black portfolios. Art student. And I assumed, full-time art student. Not someone being split in two, as I was, straddling science and art. And then something amazing happened. I got mad at her. I was actually resentful that this person got to spend their entire focus on an art major. Luckily, the reaction was so strong, I stopped and examined it. I didn't say anything to her. I just felt really, really frustrated. And I realized my thought process was, why can't I do that? And that's when it hit me. What was keeping me from doing that? Was it my own expectations of myself? Was it my father's expectations that I do something he thought I could earn a living from? Keep in mind, my father was a full-time entrepreneur. So was my mom, come to think of it. But here I was standing at college, thinking, she's lucky she gets to do that. So I had all the logic in the world for having a double major. I had what I considered a practical plan while studying my art too. Blah, 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 blah. But I was resentful. It told me everything I needed to know. It took me about a year from that revelation to actually switch majors. Including spending the following summer doing research for the university down in Brooklyn, during which time I realized I was spending more time with my sketchbook than my spotting scope. But the change actually happened when I came up against a moral dilemma in lab class after transferring down to Stony Brook in my home state of New York. The assignment was to dissect a nudibranch, which is a giant sea slug. The one in my tray was approximately 9 inches long. Problem was, it was still moving. I pointed this out to the instructor, who also happened to be the advisor for my major and the head of the department. I remember saying to him, "This is not dissection. This is vivisection. The subject is still alive." And we stood toe to toe, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, "If you're not willing to do this assignment, then I suggest you rethink your major." And my emotions told me everything I needed to know. I had complete clarity. And I said, "You know what? You're right." And I took off my lab coat and I walked out. Now, looking back, I have those Silence of the Lambs pangs of maybe I could have grabbed a few squirming sea slugs and ran, but it is what it is. I just couldn't be part of it. So here I am telling you to use your anger, use your frustration, use your resentment. Use your discomfort as signposts. I'm not talking about using your anger to scream at someone and be reactionary. I'm talking about being mindfully aware of your emotions rather than stuffing them down and trying to ignore or deny them. When we can slow down enough to recognize and be objective about our emotions, to be curious about our emotions, and really look at what's going on inside us, we can interpret what they mean and be proactive about the next step instead of reactive. This is how your emotions can guide you. Ask yourself, what's going on here? What hurts? What is out of alignment? What do I need? And be patient with yourself. Be still and listen to the reply. Practice this enough and you'll hear it. Most of you know that I meditate regularly in an effort to be still and listen. And for me, it works. For you, it might be something else. It might be yoga, or prayer, or time in nature. But find a way that works for you to be still and listen. Okay, so the last letter in HALT I haven't covered is L for lonely. Are you lonely? Now, for me, this is very relevant, but not necessarily in the way you may think. I am an introvert. Yes, I'm on the mic right now talking in your ear, I know. But I'm not standing on a big stage in front of a stadium of people, because for me, that would be terrifying. I'm often a chatterbox around the people I'm close to, but I prefer small, intimate gatherings to big, rowdy parties. I recharge in solitude, and that's okay. So the "Are you lonely?" question comes down to asking yourself, what do I need to be my best self? Which, as an artist, also means what do I need to create? As an artist, I've had studios in a lot of places. Basements, attics, garages, even on balconies. And now I paint in a spare room located in the central part of my house. My wonderful husband recently asked me if I would rather have a studio out in the backyard. And my answer is that it's perfect as it is. Because I have my own space in a central location in the house, I know that I need people nearby. I can hear them around me and know they're there, even if I'm working in my studio by myself and they're doing their own thing somewhere else in the house. They come and go, and I'm not lonely. It works for me. I don't feel like I have to choose family or studio time. I like being in the middle of the house, near the center of traffic, but having my own space to leave everything set up, so it's always ready when I am. If I had to leave the house and hole up in a building out in the yard, I'd never go out there, and the art wouldn't happen, because I'd feel cut off. Even when working alone in my studio, I need the sense of connection that being in the central part of the house gives me. Now, it's worth mentioning this can be seasonal in your life as well. My kids are teenagers now. One of them's in college. So this works for me. There were many years I actually didn't have a studio and I took time off when my children were little before they went to school. And that's okay. I enjoyed my season with my babies until it was time to pick up my paints again. But that's a personal decision. You owe it to yourself to figure out what works for you. What kind of setup do you thrive in creatively? Is it a quiet, separate space? Or is it one where other people are working in the same room? Or something in between, like my studio? My mom likes to go to the local college and take advantage of Studio Day, where she and some friends can gather as they each work on their own projects in the same room. What works for you? My suggestion today is that you do some soul searching and ask yourself questions around this concept of halt to keep you on your creative path. The more you practice mindfulness by checking in with your emotions, the more ingrained it will become, and the more you'll catch yourself when you're drifting off course with a particular project or with your motivation or in shutting down and losing creativity. Mindfulness is key. Another way to catch yourself if you're going off course is to learn your tells. You know, like in poker when you can tell someone is bluffing because they're pulling on their earlobe or twisting their hair without being aware of it. In 12-step program, they also say, learn to listen and listen to learn. This, of course, can mean close your mouth and open your ears to listen more than you speak, which does help with learning. But in this episode, I'm going to suggest learn to listen and listen to learn specifically refers to listening to your inner voice. I'm going to include some questions you can ask yourself as a starting point, and you'll find them in a downloadable PDF in the show notes for this episode at passionatepainterpodcast.com/episode79. You can always start with the basic, what am I feeling right now? Am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? Again, it may be none of the above, but if you feel like something's off in your mood, something's bothering you, you're feeling constricted, start with these questions. It really is a good jumping off point. If you identify one of them, or more than one, ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? See if you can identify what's wrong. Backtrack your day in your mind. Did your significant other say something that hit you sideways? Did your dog give you the stink eye? See if you can locate when you went from okay to not okay, because it's going to help you to know what kinds of things throw you off. As you can tell, it may not be something as physical as hungry or tired. It might be something someone said that upset you, or having some technical difficulty that made you feel like you were out of control of your technology, like an electronic banking problem. I know having a problem with the bank can shoot a lot of people's blood pressure right through the roof. So it's good to catch these things and make sure they don't offline your entire day. When you're aware of them, you can do something about it and get back to being creative. Now, once you identify what you're feeling, you can ask yourself, how do I feel about how I feel? Now, this might sound really meta, but It can help you stop blocking certain feelings because you're trying to shove them down, thinking they're unacceptable. Hello, binge eating. Take a moment to consciously accept the feelings that you're having. As in, I accept that I'm intimidated by my blank canvas right now. It's really about being aware. Mindfulness about what you're doing when you catch your emotions or your mindset going off course is helpful in learning ways to get back on course. And it's helpful for awareness of when you're procrastinating or what makes you likely to procrastinate. Ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing right now? When you get used to regularly asking yourself that question, you can often catch yourself procrastinating because you're going to have an awareness of it. For example, am I weeding at 7 a.m. in my slippers because I'm avoiding facing a blank canvas in my studio? You can use your sketchbook to help yourself become more mindful, or you can use a notebook or your phone if you want to keep it digital. I like to use my sketchbook so I can draw on the pages and use mixed media if I want to go over it later. It's a good way to add layers of meaning to what I'm working through. So set a timer on your phone for the same time each day to stop and do a check-in on how you're doing emotionally. Ask yourself, what am I feeling? If you're feeling murky on what you're feeling, write something down and then dig deeper by asking, what does that mean? Clarify to learn more by asking, why? You can write, I don't know, but try to push through the why and then ask another why until you feel you've gone as far as you can go. For example, in the identify stage, you can ask yourself, what am I feeling? Let's say you write down, I'm feeling small. Now you go to the clarify stage. What does that mean? Your answer may be, I'm feeling like I don't have the talent other artists have. Like I don't deserve to call myself an artist and stand among them. I feel unworthy. Another clarifying question. Ask yourself why. Your answer might be, because I'm not good at drawing. Dig deeper by asking, is that really true? And your answer is probably going to be, well, not exactly. Dig deeper for more clarification. In what way am I not good at drawing? And your answer might be, I struggle with proportion when I draw people. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. We've gotten specific enough that we can pursue a solution. Try asking yourself, what are some ways I can address this challenge now that I've gotten to the root of it? Brainstorm and write down as many solutions as you can think of. You might come up with, I can take a class. Or, I can practice in my sketchbook drawing figures 3 times a week for 5 minutes each. Chances are once you start, you're going to keep drawing, but that's always okay. The idea is to break that inertia and just get started in a routine of looking into, of practicing the thing that scares you. Move towards your fear, not away from it. Next, after you've clarified, commit. Each day, decide on one action you can take for your art to move your goal along. An example, I will carry my sketchbook and draw in the waiting room when my child is at the dentist. Now again, you can put all these notes into your sketchbook if you want to. It's okay to use your sketchbook as a journal. It's yours. You can always draw on top of or around your notes. In fact, it's a good way to mess up the page. It won't be as intimidating to draw on later that way. You can draw right on top of it. No one even has to know what you wrote. The idea is to identify what's going on inside you. Okay, so we have identify, clarify, commit, and finally reflect. Think about why you did or didn't do that goal after you set the goal. Revisit it at the end of the day. This doesn't have to be a drawn-out process. It's just a matter of ferreting out what's going on. Before you go to bed, you can just check on your sketchbook page and ask yourself, did I do this or did I skip it? How does it feel to have done that thing? Or if you skipped it, why did you skip it and how do you feel? It's okay if you didn't do the action step. The exercise is meant to help you, not make you more stressed. But the real help is going to be in clarifying why you didn't do it if you skipped it, just as it helps to clarify why you're feeling off. It may give you some helpful information. Your fears are bullies. They'll evaporate if you shine light on them and stare them down. The check-in exercise is meant to help you shed light on your creative blocks. When you check in with yourself, step back and try to be detached. Pretend your feelings are a fascinating new leaf you found on your morning walk. Really look at it with curiosity. Fear blocks creativity, but fear cannot exist in the same place as curiosity. And curiosity is the key to a growth mindset, which is what you need to make progress as an artist. Fear can also not exist in the same place as gratitude. So you may want to add a short gratitude check-in with your morning coffee and before you turn out the light at night. And you know I'm going to suggest that that goes in your sketchbook too. Remember, you can draw around it or over it if you want. It's your sketchbook. Your sketchbook shouldn't be a chore. It should be something that works for you. Make it earn its keep. The messier I am in my sketchbook, the more I use it. Often, I'll do a check-in by ripping words out of print materials that resonate with me at the moment and pasting them on a blank sketchbook page. I might do this over the course of several pages, just leaving the pages otherwise blank to return to later as they resonate with me. It helps me check in with how I'm doing, and it gives me idea prompts for sketches. So replace your fear with gratitude and curiosity, and take action. Show up in your studio. The best way to overcome insecurity is to show up and get to work. I always have neutrally primed canvases and panels in my studio, ready to go. And it's why I keep a list of paintings I want to make in my sketchbook, and it's why I work on several pieces at a time. You're not likely to show up in your studio on a day you're feeling insecure and confront a blank canvas, even if it's slopped up by gesso. If you're having a tough day, it's going to be hard to start from scratch. So I use gateway paintings to pull me into each studio session. My gateway paintings are always paintings I'm working on in the messy middle stage. No pressure to begin, no pressure for knowing when it's good enough to stop, just a work in progress. Like me. This wraps up today's episode. I hope you've gotten something out of it. Again, take what you can and leave the rest. Be sure to download the fun sheet for this episode with your check-in questions and exercise suggestions in the show notes at passionatepainterpodcast.com/episode79. Don't forget that in addition to my full masterclass, The Portrait Code, there are now 7 standalone spotlight classes for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. Something for everyone. You can check them all out at PassionatePainterAcademy.com. Until next time, go make something.